Welcome to The Oldie Lunches. Anthony sat in on the young T.E. Lawrence, sponsored by Noble Caledonia.
Let's start with a little bit of exercise just to get the blood flowing after lunch. A show of hands, please. Who has read Seven Pillars of Wisdom? Very good. Okay. And who has seen the film? David Lean's film of Lawrence of Arabia. Yeah. Okay. Well, no, not at all. I think that's, yeah, that's the reality of it. And as somebody who's read Seven Pillars of Wisdom several times, I don't think it is one of the greatest books of all time. But as Mark was just saying, I mean, it's interesting looking, and Lady Antonia, it's interesting looking back at these characters. They really don't know what's about to happen to them. These people who we have come to lionize. And perhaps no one more so than T.E. Lawrence. He, and part of the fascination of writing this book is charting that progress from Ned Lawrence, as he was called, of Polstead Road, Oxford, to Lawrence of Arabia. And I think there is a value in looking back at early lives. He was 26 when the First World War started. He had no idea, even in June 1914, what was about to happen. I have to say, I'm not the greatest fan of Lawrence's later life. I mean, there's an awful lot of sort of obscurity. It's one of the reasons why I think after Winston Churchill, Lawrence is the most written about character of either of the world wars in this country, is because there is no certainty about either what he did or how he did it. Towards the end of the First World War, he was proposed for a VC, Victoria Cross, and they couldn't give it to him because you need to have a British officer present witnessing the act of heroism. And there wasn't one. And the Arab sources don't agree with what Lawrence wrote about his account of the war. So who knows exactly what happened in the First World War? We may never know, which is why people keep on writing books about it. But this earlier character you can get hold of, and I think it's fascinating to watch this person emerge. He was a medievalist. He was somebody who... there are sort of three important things to know about him. One is that he wasn't like Peter O'Toole. He was very short. He was somewhere between 5'3.5" and 5'5". So, you know, he was not a big man. And he compensates for this by sort of making himself as, you know, sort of very, you know, he's very into mortifying the flesh. He goes on hugely long bike rides. The second thing is he was a medievalist. He dreamed, he loved the medieval world. He, at an early age, collected medieval pottery, for instance. When he was 13 or 14, there was a lot of building work going on in Oxford, and he was paying workmen to provide him with shards of pots and bottles and things. He was piecing them back together and became the youngest donor to the Ashmoleans' medieval collection, for instance, and then helped them, I think at the age of 16, reorganize their medieval collection. But the third and perhaps most important thing is that he was one of five sons, and he was illegitimate. They were all illegitimate. His parents were not married. And he seems to have been the only one who realized this. And he thought, somewhere in his teens, he confided this to a friend, that his mother was his mother, but his father wasn't, and had sort of stepped in and done the decent thing. But the you know, reality was actually even more interesting than that. His father was an Anglo-Irish baronet with the big estate outside Dublin called Sir Thomas Chapman. And Sir Thomas had a wife and a couple of kids and fell in love with the governess, and she became pregnant. And Lady Chapman gave him the choice of me or her, and he chose her and went off with the governess. And the governess's name wasn't Lawrence either. It's a name they plucked out of the air. And they then had five children, but Lady Chapman would never divorce her husband, being a good Catholic. So these five children were born out of wedlock, and this family move around a lot in Lawrence's early life. And I think when he's about 9 or 10, they settle in Oxford because they need a they want to educate their kids properly. And I think that's, you know, that's part of his, of what drives him into the Middle East, because he's, there's no backstory in his family. His mother herself was illegitimate, and so she didn't know her family story. And the father couldn't tell the family story because he didn't want, the children never knew about this until after his death. And so instead of, in the place of family pictures on the mantelpiece, Lawrence does brass rubbing. And he his bedroom is filled with knights and knights in armor. And that's sort of the backstory of what you do, this young man, this fantasist young man, and what drives him into the Middle East. He actually wants to be an archaeologist, and that's what he becomes as soon as he leaves Oxford. He studies medieval history in Oxford, and then goes off with the British Museum dig to the Euphrates. And that's what he was doing on the eve of the First World War. And he wrote a letter to a friend of his. There had been a point where he thought he might be a publisher, a printer. William Morris style, he wanted to make boutique books. But he then finally decides in 1914 that he won't do this, that he's going to be an archaeologist forever. He's 26 years old. And he had written a book about his adventures. He'd been 4 years traveling in the Middle East. He wrote a book which was called Seven Pillars of Wisdom. And he finished it in the summer of 1914. And it described his work as an archaeologist, but also the journeys he'd made when the other archaeologists knocked off for the summer. He, being a tough young man, would go walking. And he burnt it in August 1914, this manuscript. And that's the reason why I decided to write this book, because I thought, why would you burn a book about your adventures in the Middle East, the adventures that he was quite proud of and actually that had shaped him for what was about to come, that taught him about guerrilla warfare, how easy it was to disappear into the desert. It had taught him about the delicate nature of the tribal alliances in the Middle East. And he said later on, because he referred to it after the war, that he burnt it because it was immature. But he didn't burn anything else that was immature. And there was lots of that. This is the only thing he burnt, and he burnt it when he went off to war. And he was hiding something from his parents that he didn't, about his life in the Middle East, that he didn't want them to know. And there's a clue to this. On the last page of Seven Pillars of Wisdom that we have, which is about what he did during the war, it was a page that was only to be published after his death. And on it, he says, his greatest motive for everything he did during the war was personal. And I think at that point, my 10 minutes is up. So if you want... so I didn't make the rules. If you want to know what the personal motive was, that's what the book is about. Thank you.
The Oldie Magazine Recordings. This is a Radio Gorgeous production for The Oldie 2015. TheOldie.co.uk